are successful. I just finished my 10-month report to Secretary General. Seems to be happy. I had six priorities. Make sure that the 60th session of General Assembly has gone very well. Also programming, reorganizing the department, advancing and promoting integrated global management and global work sharing with the offices in Geneva, New York, Nairobi, and Vienna. I also accelerated implementing technological innovation and team building and management, and also looked into the welfare, productivity, and team building of the workers. So overall, it was very challenging, but I think I managed to do very well.
Was public service something you dreamed of growing up, or was it a role you just happened to stumble into?
I don't think I stumbled into it, but it is not something I pre-planned also. It is something I grew into it, you know, progressively when you get trained in development administration, when you get engaged into development and management skills and training, and then practically using them progressively, I started getting attracted to it, and I started also getting better and better given the opportunity and also trying different venues. So both in academics and also in international organization and government, I managed to get exposure that progressively attracted me. So it is something that is progressively built, and then the more one succeeds and improves, the more it gets attracted. So rather than stumbling, I grew into it.
The United Nations, of course, is the world's premier deliberative body on international issues. As an African, what does your holding of one of the top positions in the UN mean for the continent, for Africa?
It is one of the undersecretarial jobs that's provided for Africa, and then as an African, I feel very proud that I was given this chance, and I have the double responsibility as an African to make sure that I succeed in this. Also, it shows that Africans are quite capable in competing and being able to do this kind of jobs, and more opportunity has to be opened up for more Africans, and Africans should feel free and strong to compete for it and be able to do it. So I see it that way, and I see a double responsibility in my part to make sure there won't be any disappointment and I succeed in the name of Africans and then open up other opportunities for other Africans. So as an African, I feel very proud, I feel responsible, and I feel also that I must do my level best to succeed.
Many people have this stereotype of UN officials as people who live cushioned lives and rather detached from the realities of the world. Unfair portrayal?
Yeah, I think it's a very totally unfair portrayal. The UN is not a monolithic organization. It's been there for 68 years. It started in 1945 with 51 members. It has 193 members now. And it has structural limitations. The UN as a stage and the UN as an actor are two different things. Everything depends on member states, but the UN is very complex, tremendous number and complex organizations like UN Development Agencies, UNICEF, UNFPA, WFP, UNCTAD, WHO, FA, all this. So one has to look at them in a very complex way as opposed to a very restricted, stereotypic way. Also, at the same time, you know, the UN staff, quite a large number of UN staff die on action as opposed to living in prison. In Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, we have quite a number of staff that have been working there in Congo, in Central African Republic, currently in areas where the Arab Springs, and historically in South Africa. The UN has played a very critical role, and quite a large number of people have sacrificed not only their lives, but also their youth, their energy, and many years of service. So to reach that kind of a conclusion will be unfair, but at the same time, it does not mean the UN doesn't have its weaknesses. It has its own bureaucratic weaknesses, because to move from 1945, work on 68 years, so there is a wear and tear in the process, so maybe that should be taken out down. But the UN is world's only truly universal institution, and the hope of humanity, more so for the weak and poor. There is no other organization that will look into the refugees from Syria, that will look into the people in Afghanistan, the people in Iraq, the people in Central African Republic, currently in South Sudan, the people in Liberia, the people in Bosnia. So it is a very strong organization that have contributed tremendously. So I think opinions have to be balanced and based on the facts.
Well, no doubt many beneficiaries of UN programs, as you said, will agree with that. Now, you've served with the World Body for years, especially on issues that pertain to Africa. From your vantage point, how do you see the continent faring today, some 50 years after independence?
Well, I think the last few years, Africa is making progress. As an African, I would say tremendous progress, but with a bit of a cap. We have lost decades in Africa, lost decades of conflicts, lost decades of dictatorships, lost decades of unaccountability. So we have lost quite some time. There are few areas that Africa needs to focus now. One is to continue the economic growth. And economic growth does not necessarily mean only from a service sector. But Africa has to really advance in industrialization and agriculture and absorb and create quite a bit of a job for the large amount of the youth population that is the majority in Africa today.
Which brings up the question, Dr. Tegeng. There are African governments who boast about policies that have resulted in economic growth and yet don't allow for much political space. Can economic growth be achieved or sustained without democratic governance?
Well, I think it is interchangeable, whether the politics comes or the economics comes. There are historical examples in different parts of the world. If you take Singapore, if you take South Korea, if you take Vietnam, China, economic development came before democratic entanglement. Or in other words, if you take Japan and some other countries, Brazil, democracy has played a fundamental role in the economic advancement. So it's interchangeable, but the objective, subjective condition of a particular African country determines that, and the political and institutional capacity. To have functioning democracy takes time, adjustment, institutional capability in adjusting to national realities, a painstaking process. But economic progress, one way or the other, must be done in Africa. I don't think we have any reason not to, because we have good natural endowment, quite a number of natural resources, huge amount of labor force. It requires dedication. But both democratic institutions, accountable government, and economic development are critical for Africa now.
For aspiring young Africans who may be listening to this interview, Dr. Tegeng, what words of wisdom would you share with them?
I think as an African, we all have to work together to move from a survival mode to a stability mode, and then move from a stability mode to a successful model move, and that will lead us to be significant. I think we have to be careful not to be swept up with euphoria, avoid distraction, but at the same time assert our independence and rights, and both internal and external. We have to acknowledge the difficulties we are facing and face them to solve. We have to avoid extremism and work for sustained stability and tolerance and give and take. By doing that, I have full confidence with the youth of Africa, with the knowledge dissemination, with social media and the others, that the future of Africa will be better.